God is also a God of judgment. And judgment in the Old Testament is called God's strange work. But as well as a God of love, God is a God of judgment. Listen to this verse in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. He's the living God. He's an everlasting King. Three things about God. He's the true God, He's the living God, and He's the everlasting King. At His wrath, the earth shall tremble, and nations shall not be able to abide in His indignation. God is a God of love, but I want to emphasize also this morning that God is a God of judgment. But as far as I know in the Word of God, God never brings judgment, and I wouldn't be 100% sure on this, but as far as I can remember, God never brings judgment without a warning and a way of escape. I think this is true as we read through the Bible. Now there are three or four verses that I want to speak about this morning. The first one is, "Come, thou and thy house, into the ark." And then you remember that very wonderful verse in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Then there's another very wonderful verse moving over into the New Testament, Matthew 11 and verse 27, I think it is. "Come unto me," the Lord Jesus Himself said this verse, these words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then there's the very, very last invitation to mankind in the book of the Revelation, the very last chapter in the Bible, and almost the last verse. I think it's the 17th verse. "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." And if I can't quote the whole verse, but if we turn to the verse, you would find the word "come" in there too. So now let's go back to Genesis, the first one, should we? That's in chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. But let's go back into chapter 6 for a few minutes. And we'll read these words. Chapter 6, verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Verse 11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." We remember this story, how man was first placed in the Garden of Eden by God, and there was a wonderful relationship between man and God, but sin entered in, and man was separated by sin, and death is a result of sin. Now it's in chapter 7, where we read in verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have seen thee righteous before me in this generation." It's some 1,500 years since man was first put in the garden until this account we find in chapter 7 of Genesis. And we have just read in chapter 6 where wickedness and violence was rampant in the world. And if we would go over to Matthew chapter 24, which we won't this morning, but it says there, "As it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, and so on." Now, there's nothing the matter with these things that are related to, are referred to in Matthew 24, but the point is that in all these things, men forget God. It's a terrible thing to forget God. He is the great and the eternal God. He's the only Savior. And He gave His only Son, who came down to this scene as we will soon be celebrating the Christmas story. It says in John 1:1, the Word was made flesh and tabernacled amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to this scene, not because to go to the cross, not because of His own sin, but because of your sin and my sin, because He had no sin. But He went to that cross, and there He gave His life, that you and I might have life with Him and have it more abundantly, as it says in the Gospel of John. But anyway, now in chapter 7 here of Genesis, the Lord God says to Noah, and the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Now the ark is a beautiful picture in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Himself. He is our ark of safety. He is our refuge place. And dear friends, this morning, I wonder where you stand. I ask myself the same question. Where do I stand in relation to my position before God? And I can remember when I was about 13 or 14, I can't remember exactly the age, but I took Jesus Christ as my Savior. I confessed to Him that I was a sinner and received Him as my own. Because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now God is going to bring a flood in this early day, some 1,500 years after man was put into the Garden of Eden. God is going to bring a flood upon the whole earth because of man's sin. The earth was filled with violence, and they had corrupted themselves. They had gone away from God and failed to take God into account in their relationship with Him. And dear friends, this morning I want to remind you and I want to remind myself that all of us have to face up someday with God. In Philippians 2, it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We're either going to bow the knee now and confess Him as our Savior, or in that coming day of judgment, we're going to recognize that He is a righteous judge in allowing us to go to a lost eternity where there is no escape from. And so God says to Noah here, He says, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And this is the invitation of the Lord Jesus this morning to you, if you are not saved. Come unto Me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. Dear friend, this morning, are you weary? Are you heavy with the burden of sin upon your heart? You know you're not in the right relationship with God? There's a terribly solemn verse in the Old Testament, also found in Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 9. The harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we're not saved. What a terrible thing to meet God in an unsaved condition. And we're all going to have to meet Him someday. Pilate said, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? He allowed Him to be put upon the cross, but someday he and all Christ rejecters will have to stand before Him. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. And I would like to give you the invitation this morning to come into the ark. Not the ark it's talking about here, but the ark, the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in. You're only going to get into heaven one way. So am I. That's by way of the cross. Down through the years of my life, when I was back working, if you talk to somebody once in a while, they tell you, well, you go your way, and I'll go my way. We'll all end up in the same way. That's not taught in the same place. That's not taught in the Word of God. There is only one way. The hymn writer has put it so nicely. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There is no other way but this. And if you're going to enter heaven, if I'm going to enter heaven, it's going to be because I came to the foot of the cross, or you came there, you acknowledged your sin, and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, into your heart. All right, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have seen thee righteous before Me in this generation. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it tells us that Noah, during the time of the building of the ark, was a preacher of righteousness. That is, I would believe from that statement that everyone living in that day before the flood, and certainly the ark was big enough, anyone who would confess their sins, who would turn to God, who would forsake their sins, could go into this ark and be safe. But there was only 8 souls saved. That was Noah and his family. Let's go over now, or rather let's turn down here to verse 4 of chapter 7. God continues talking to Noah, and he says this, "For yet 7 days," and I believe myself this was 7 weekdays, 24-hour days, "for yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. It seems as though the Lord God said to Noah, "Noah, I've told you to build this ark, and you've got it prepared now. The door is open. Now, Noah, you go out for 7 days. You preach like you've never preached before. You call men to repentance, to turning to God, because in 7 days, that door is going to be closed, and there's going to be nobody else to enter in. A 7-day of extended grace, shall we say. And you know, dear friends, I think we're in that day today. The Lord is coming very soon. World conditions around us would if we've got our eyes open at all, would tell us that something has got to happen. Something has got to happen. And you can talk to men of financial, who are up in finances, men who are educated, men who are somewhat of rulers of some, and they will tell you that something, it just can't go on like this, something has got to happen. The coming of the Lord is drawing near. And dear friends, we have to be prepared to meet God. That's another statement in the Old Testament. God said to Israel, to prepare to meet thy God. We've got to meet with God someday. And why not now? All right, let's go over to Matthew's, to that beautiful verse in Isaiah. Many years have passed now, and Isaiah the prophet is on the scene. I don't know how many years, but he wrote his book approximately 780 years B.C. But Isaiah is a prophet of God, and he is the gospeler of the Old Testament. Read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. What a wonderful chapter that is, and it's speaking of none other than the Lord Jesus himself. But there's a very wonderful verse. Isaiah says, and of course Isaiah was speaking under the control and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Come now. It's a now necessity. Come now. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now is the time. We have no guarantee on tomorrow. The fact is, we have no guarantee on this afternoon. We have no guarantee on this afternoon. Time is short. And death is sure. Unless the Lord comes, those who know him will be caught up to meet him in the air. But in a normal run of things, death is sure. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, deep dyed, they shall be white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Matthew chapter 11. The Lord Jesus now is on the scene. Again, it's many days later. He has come for the express purpose of going to Jerusalem to carry out his decease. You know, when your time comes, when my time comes, it doesn't matter how much fuss we make, we'll go. But the Lord Jesus came, and he yielded his life. He gave his life. Death had no claim upon him, but he allowed himself to be put upon the cross by wicked hands, and also by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus is not asking you or me to come to some group of people, to come to any system. He's asking us to come to a person. like this verse in the back of us here. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him, it's a person, shall the gathering of the people be. Salvation is not a system. It's not anything else but coming to a person, Jesus Christ, who came to be the Savior of all mankind. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's one more verse now. In the book of the Revelation, the last chapter and the 17th verse, I think it is. The very last invitation to mankind in the Bible. This is thought-provoking, isn't it? This is the very last invitation to mankind in the Bible. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That word freely means without a cause. There's no cause in us that we should have salvation, that we should have the forgiveness of our sins. Ephesians 2:5 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy has he saved us. I like the words of that hymn. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad, and found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Friend, this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you don't, it's high time you looked into the situation and get right before God, because the Lord Jesus is coming back again. If he doesn't come back, death is ahead of us. And after death, it's too late. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's go to our classes.